the wand, a puff of smoke, and the magic man pulls one out of the hat.
I still can't believe it happened.
Welcome to the Mirrors Magic Supercoach podcast following round 21. Big week of Supercoach, none more so than the regular season injury to Dacos, which will certainly dictate the rest of the year and to talk about it. And finally got something to talk about, Tommy. We've got Tommy on board. How are you, Tommy?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Yeah, we have something to talk about. I wish it wasn't Dacos, but I guess there's a silver lining that he's in 100% of teams in the top 1,000, I think. So, everyone's at the pointy end is dealing with the same sort of grief, and I suppose there's a fair few ways to play it. So, fair bit to talk about.
Yeah, and obviously this is why I like this game, despite a bit of egg on the face, because I've got no trades, and we'll talk about individual circumstances in a bit, but this is where it does throw the curveball. Do you use that trade early in the year to get those extra couple of points with a luxury, or do you get rewarded for being patient? And I'm glad at least, and we had a comment come through, that you're the conservative one, and any philosophies, anyone who reads the insights, the philosophies are based off what Tommy was writing last year, and that all was, if you've got a trade, save it. The injuries will come, they'll come. And those who have saved at least a trade are in the box seat. So we'll talk about options to do those who do have trades and other options if not. Before we get into it, let's just go through the week that was. You're still flying up the charts. Tommy, how did you finish up for the round?
Yeah, another good week for me. I was having a look at what sort of changed about 4 weeks ago, which is sort of where I've come screaming home, I think. So I have scored 25.04. It was looking a hell of a lot better on Sunday morning, but I think everyone sort of dealt with the same pain. So 25.04, which is a very good score. And I'm up to 109th overall, so climbed the 28th spots. And, yeah, I was having a look at sort of what changed. So over the last five rounds, I think it is, I've got an average of a round rank of about 1K. And in that time, I've brought in Libba as my last upgrade and Sicily. Which has obviously been two really high-scoring players, two high point of differences as well. So they're I think, two of the lowest-owned premiums that I've got in my side. So I think them hitting some form certainly worked for me, and there's a fair few other players have sort of hit their straps on the way home as well, which I'm pretty fortunate about. So another good week for me. Obviously, there was a few things that went wrong, but the captain's choice as well was not too bad with Zachy Merritt going 143. So I missed the Bont and the Liver on the Friday, but Zachy Merritt brought it home, and I think we all expected him to. He outperformed the rest of the Bombers by some margin, and we only won by 1 point. So, good week for me. How'd you go?
Great week. Congrats on that. 109. And just looking now, I think, thanks to Supercoach data, there's 41% of the top 1,000 don't have a trade left and 31% have one. So assuming that flows through to the top 100 as well, there's you're certainly pointing in the right direction to come charging. And again, we talked about more so last week and again at the end of the season, but with your change of luck, but your patience to wait for that ideal upgrade, and we even joked about the points you could have had or extra trade if you didn't do the, say, a steal to Petrarca when steal wasn't a top eight, but that just, well, that was an extra 100 points from the weekend just gone. So you've got those top eight mids, and it's put you in a really box seat position. My view was to take a haircut on those upgrades to potentially get that 23rd, 24th man this year, which I do have. I've got nine premium mids and seven premium defenders. And as a normal scenario, like obviously Dacos tag was on the wall, and say if Ridley was healthy, I could have looped Dacos, which I would have done. And Ridley versus West Coast, you imagine, could have done pretty well. Dacos injured, doesn't matter, with no trades, plug and play Ridley the rest of the year. And I think I would have been in a strong position. So I think if I had my time again with zero trades left now, I still think I would have played it the same, and copping two season-ending injuries to one position, being Ridley and Dacos, I've just got to cop that on the chin and go again next year, I think, and be aggressive. So my round, mentioning Jack Steele, he had the poor one, but with that loop, with the seven mids, I was able to put Tarrant on the bench for his 85 and play a Tom Green 126. So I gained some points there. Where are we? Sorry, this platform always gets me. I scored a 2380, so pretty low. Dropped 50 ranks, 179, and I dare say it's peaked, because unless we get a nice reprieve from a constable, an O'Sheen Mullen, or the red dot rookie I bought in defence to get someone's score. I think it was Sheez will score that one weekend. Gilby from the Giants gets a run in the next couple of weeks, or Ridley gets a miraculous recovery. I'm looking at three donuts to come, which will at least there's 41% of the top 1,000 in the same boat, but that's probably going to put me out towards the back 500, I imagine, for the round. But at least we've got, as I said, something to discuss and relevant trade options. So obviously with the Dacos move, must trade. There's no question about that. You've got him. You've got a trade, or 100% of the top 1,000 have him. Let's talk through the options. So the defenders to start, you mentioned Sicily being your big point of difference. I've got the wrong one up. 2-6. I've got a little 6-week-old on my lap, so I'm a bit slower getting all the things, if you haven't noticed. And if there's a cry, I'll apologise in advance. Sicily. So he's come out last three, 146. That includes a tag game in there. Last five, 127. That includes two tag games in there. And I think it was 3 weeks ago we talked about how high these defenders were scoring, but they've actually come off a little bit in recent time. Dawson, 108 last three. Houston, 101 last three. Dacos was 74 last three before he went down. Sheezel's dipped under the 100, Caleb Daniels. So the one who really stands out is a Sicily, unfortunately, with a price difference. And again, learnings for those who do keep an injury trade left over. A recommendation has been to make sure you've got additional cash, because likely if you were to get a season-ending injury, they're likely to get a low score because they've come off injured. And you want to have some decent cash there to go up to the next best available in that line. Unfortunately, this week with Sicily, it's a 92K, I think it is, only knowing, looking at JD, who has 90K in his bank, and it's 92K difference.
Yeah, it's really rough. Obviously, that poor score, he's coming off really too, well below par for him on the year, and he's taken a massive hit in the bank balance, which is, you know, it sucks for owners because it makes that Sicily climb really, really unlucky. Like, I've got 63K in the bank and I don't really get near him. He's by far the most obvious pick, I think, in terms of your options. Like, he's coming up against Melbourne this week, Dogs this week, who give up a lot of points to backs. I can't really think of who would do the role. He's got Melbourne the week after, who gave up all those marks and points to Zeeble on the weekend, and then Freo in the last round. So he's got three really decent matchups coming home. And, in terms of what he can do when he's on his day, even if he puts up a poor one in one of those, you assume that the other two will balance that out and sort of make him that number one defender on the run home. It's just going to be really hard for a lot of people to get up, but I'm sure some people are going to have that 100K sitting in the bank for that last trade. And if you have, you're sitting in a really good position to grab a pot on the way home.
What if you've got two trades and you can get to him with two trades, but then that then leaves you with none?
I think what we're seeing in terms of the amount of coaches that don't have trades, I think you said 44% don't have trades. There's a decent handful of those that don't have trades that will have cover, I think. So people will have that 23rd premium, but most likely they're going to be in the mid and the forward line. Typically, I think you're probably one of the only players that sort of went that route that he had the defender as well. So I think that would be really difficult to do. I think I would rather give up a few extra points per week, maybe a Stewart if you don't have him, or a Dawson or a Doc. I think there's enough options out there that might give up, 20 points per week, but you've got a really strong point of difference. If someone comes out this week and, after the Dacos trade that everyone's going to use him, it's going to be almost the entire top 1,000 that don't have a trade on the run home. If you've got one, 3 weeks to go. So if there's an injury this week, you've got two weeks of other players copping donuts, you could easily make that up. So I think it's a bit of a gamble. I think if I was doing it, I think the maximum point difference that you can get is kind of, you don't want to hope for injuries, but if one comes this week, you've got a premium that you can bring in the following week, or following 2 weeks, and really, you know, put 200 points, 250 points if you get a really good primo on other teams on the back end. And you're not going to get that from a Sicily over a Docker or over even a Nick Newman or a Dawson in comparison. So my play would be to just grab the cheaper option. And if an injury comes, that's where the point of difference is going to come from, and you'll go screaming up the rankings.
Well, let's talk cheaper options. I know Dawson's owned by 98% of the top 1,000, so most would already have him. He's obviously hasn't scored great to date, but he's by far a top couple, and you can lock that in. Houston was the one who, well, for so many weeks, he's averaging the 120s, and he's 10% owned the top 1,000 with a pretty nice run home with Freo and Richmond the last 2 weeks. Nine possessions. I didn't watch the game. Not sure if he got tagged or attention, but nine possessions is crazy, and 61 is very hard to buy into him on the back of that, but he still remains that super unique player who can put up a top score. You mentioned Doherty, who's much closer within reach for price. So he's similar to Luke Ryan. How do you currently rank a Luke Ryan and a Doherty, knowing Ryan's got West Coast this week and Hawthorn a finish?
I think so. It depends on your situation. I think for me, I put Doc well and truly above Ryan. I think their scoring is probably, you know, likely to be similar on the run home. I've got Dacos in my mids because I've got that mid defense swing. So I've got the extra defender premium in my midfield. So if I bring in a Doc, he's obviously got that DPP. I could bring him into my midfield and then continue to have that flexibility. So for me, in my situation, that outranks Doc pretty significantly over Ryan. I think head to head as defenders, it's a really tough pick. Who do they play? So Ryan's got West Coast, Port Adelaide and Hawthorn, and then Doc. Who's he come home
He's
with?
He's got Melbourne, Gold Coast, GWS.
Yeah. So you'd say Luke Ryan's got the easier matchup. He will clearly play loose against West Coast. There's no need for him to match up. Porter, pretty decimated in that forward line at the moment. I'm not sure how long it's going to be until Charlie Dixon's back. What did he play on the weekend? I didn't watch that game. No, I didn't. So he's still out. Is he out for the season?
No, we missed on the weekend. I just know, as I said, I missed the game, but I've just been hearing Kane Corns carrying on saying it's a sample side, but yeah.
And then Hawthorn. You know, I'd probably, head-to-head, I think I'd take Luke Ryan in that. I think he's capable of putting up really high-ceiling scores, and we know Doc playing that midfield role. He's kind of capped a little bit at that sort of 105, 110 mark. I think that's what you would expect, where you could probably comfortably say you'll get that out of Luke Ryan with the potential for him to go higher. So I think I'd rank Luke Ryan above Sam Doherty.
Yeah, I'm also Ryan over Doherty. Last five games, 116 for Ryan, 111 Doc. But we'll speak about, once we go through these defenders, the flexibility of throwing in a mid defender and that option which you're currently weighing up, and whether it's worth taking that haircut for the flex. Other players who are cheaper, obviously Jack Sinclair's cheaper than Nick Dacos, so that's a nice little jump for those who can do there. And he's in some decent form, Sinclair. 115 his last three, showing what he can do back end. And he's got Richmond this week, who's a nice, juicy matchup. If you haven't got any cash, so obviously there's the Sinclair, but he's highly owned, and you need a defender, there's a few cheaper options in defence who are getting it done. There's, well, you can go right down to, say, Bailey Dale, whose last three is 113, coming off of 113. I'm an owner. He's got a decent run home. He plays Hawthorn, then West Coast, and then Geelong, who Houston just had the poor game against Geelong. The only thing with Dale, he's been up and down all year. With Richards there, Johannesson there, Caleb Daniels now, who knows where he's playing? Does he sneak back there? He hasn't got a mortgage on these points like some of these other defenders do have. Jake Lloyd's obviously cheap from that game he got concussed. He's been consistent all year without showing that big 120, 140 ceiling we've seen from some of these other defenders. So I'm probably cooler on him than some of the others. But then there's four names I want to speak to you about. The first one being Nick Newman, who Obviously had the big one the week against the Saints. Everyone has big games against the Saints with his 144. But he's sitting there last three, 124, last five, 119, which is comparison. What's better than a Dawson, better than a Houston, pretty well on par with a Tom Stewart and a Luke Ryan. It's pretty elite category scoring. It just, because he's not a household name, it's harder to trust someone like Nick Newman. But now Doherty's playing more midfield time, 41% centre bounce on the weekend. We talk about Caleb Daniel having a few mouths to feed back there at the Bulldogs. It's pretty much Newman's kick-in duties for his, and he's playing a good role there too. Your thoughts on Nick Newman?
Yeah, I really like him as an option. I think in terms of those that are under him, I'd probably have Sinclair just ahead of him for safety. But the form that Nick Newman is in puts him really right at the pointy end of those defending options. So he's got the third. He's coming third for 5 round averages, and he's third for the 3 round average as well. And he's pretty quietly averaging just under 100 over the whole season, and that includes a 28, a 59, and a 58 earlier in the year. So he's clearly a very good pick, I think. He's a pod pick. He's one of those season, defining picks on the run home. And if you sort of look at the players under him, I think they're kind of consistent, relatively good performers, where Nick Newman's shown that he's got that really high ceiling coming off halfback. We know they score really well, and I don't think a tag's going to come for him. So if he stays in the form he's in, which you can't really see there's a reason, there'd be a reason why he wouldn't. I really like him as an option, especially as a pod play, and he's taken the most kickouts for Carlton at the moment as well. So, yeah, really, really like him as an option.
Yeah, coming off a big game too, 35 touches, full of confidence. I love the move. I just wouldn't have it in me. I know someone described me and you, one aggressive, one conservative. That's why we're a nice combo. It's the aggressive move. I think by having the extra trade up your sleeve, you're already ahead of, 41% of the comp. So to go the real risky one, and if they were to get injured, then you're back in with them. Whereas if you play the safe route of a Jack Sinclair, if you don't own him, I know 92% of the top 1,000 already do have him. But if you go that safe route, then you're automatically gaining on that 41%, whereas it could backfire the other way. But obviously, if you're sitting, in the top 1,500, 2,000, you want to push for a top 1,000 finish, or if you're sitting at the 250, 300 mark, you want to push for a top 100 finish. Potentially, if you're sitting in the top 10 and want to push for a number one finish, knowing that 0% of the top 1,000, no one in the top 100 own a Nick Newman, could prove to be a great place. He's got Melbourne, Gold Coast and GWS to come, so doesn't scream at any of them being easy matchups, but again, not going to be real tricky ones. Couple more names. Let's start from price highest to lowest. So you're coming down a lot in cash here, so it's hard to use your last trade just mentally and leaving a lot of cash on the table, but maybe if you've got two trades left, this could be an option to leave a bit of cash there for that potential injury trade. And Mason Redmond, obviously Ridley out for the season. We've seen what he can do with nice matchups. They've got North this week, Collingwood to finish. We just saw what Collingwood gave to Sicily on the weekend. Coming off the 123, been underwhelming all season, but we've seen the back end of last year when they're up and going and winning, he can score as well as the top six defenders in Supercoach. Your thoughts on Redmond?
I like him. I just think in terms of the form that he's been in over the season, it's really hard to jump on and suggest that he's going to be, one of those, 110 plus in the run home. He's always been a pretty inconsistent player. He's coming off 123 on the weekend, but it was a 56 before that, 98, 70, 80, 99, 67. So he hadn't gone a ton since round 13 against Carlton prior to the weekend. He's got a really good matchup against North, and I think he scored 176 on him in the back end of last year. It's a high risk play. I just think if you've got the cash, there's better options up the top, and I would certainly rather grab a Nick Newman. I think most other, if you look at the team, most pet players' teams, a lot of these midfielders, a lot of the defenders, and even a lot of the forwards have sort of come into some pretty strong form on the back end of the year. So if that injury does come, I can't see you taking too significant on a haircut on who that player is going to be. So for me, I just think I'd just go a little bit more of a proven option over the last like 4 or 5 weeks. And, you know, Nick Newman is that, Sinclair is that. I just think it's a bit of a reach on Redmond.
Yeah, 100% agree. It's not like Sinclair or Newman are more expensive than Sinclair, and you might be in a position to have to go right down. You've got the cash, play that safety. As I said, with Newman, I didn't like him for the risk, high risk reward, because he's lowly owned, but at least he's shown he's consistent and been doing it. Whereas Redmond, you've got the lowly owned plus he's averaging for the season 92, so pretty underwhelming. Hayden Young's the other one coming off the 123. We've been waiting for his breakout all season. We thought it was going to come with more kick-in duties. It's actually come from CBAs playing as a run with midfield of the last couple of weeks. Looked really good in the role, but he's very fresh in the role. He does have a nice matchup to come, being West Coast and Hawthorn to finish, but I think you're going to see up and downs. I think he's a gun. He's going to be very high on the radar come next year if he comes in price at that average of 91, if he keeps his midfield role, which it sounds like he's going to do. But I think, again, like Redmond, too risky. It's funny you say they're risky. Then you come down 130K more and potentially for more safety. Jack Zeeble on the retirement train. 3 weeks to go. Coming off a 127, Clarko's first game back. I think it looked as if Ratten was doing what everyone thought they should do, which is why waste development of young kids by having the ball in Zeeble's hand all the time. Put him as sub, played him forward, played him as a defensive forward on Sicily at times a couple of weeks ago, and gave it all to Sheasel and let the ball go through him. Clarko first game back, Zeeble bound back, aid into Sheasel's usage, and yeah, 127 for him. You could only think with a run home of an Essendon, a Richmond and a Gold Coast to come, one of them being his last ever game, you're going to see some big scores. But might you see him swung forward to kick a goal to finish? Might you see him be sub or subbed out or injured given his age? Could you do it? Is it worth that extra cash if you've got a couple extra trades and that extra cash might help you get a nice upgrade elsewhere?
I think there's probably one situation where I'd endorse this, and that would be if you've got two trades, you've got no cash, and you've probably got a D7, because he is a good loop option. I think it'd be good to play to be able to loop him in case of that high score. But like you said, there's a chance that he'll be subbed out or managed over these last couple of weeks, so he can, you know, if it's on the weekend, and then he can have a big farewell game at Richmond, or even play that full game out at up at the Gold Coast. I just think there's too much risk to sit him on field. And yeah, you would have to have a really strong plan to use that cash next week or for an injury. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense if this was, you know, 5 weeks ago and he was coming into this form and it looked like the role would hold. I'd probably make a bigger argument for it, because then you could use that cash to grab that 23rd man. But it just screams way too much risk, especially if it's your last trade. Spend the money.
Yep, I'm with you there. So you mentioned that you've got Dacos in the mids. You could replace him with a mid or a defender, or some people might have a Dawson in the midfield, which they can swing back for Dacos and trade in a midfielder and just keep the six defenders, or go to have seven defenders steal one in the midfield. What's the advantage of having seven defenders, one of them playing in the midfield?
The advantage for me is that I don't have cover in defence. Like, I've got O'Donnell from the Doggies, who put up a 43 on the weekend, which is relatively serviceable. But if I get an injury in defence, I'm pretty hamstrung, where if I don't have a black death defender in my midfield like Dacos, where obviously if I got a, you know, an injury today and he was out and I don't have any injuries left, I could swing like a Doherty back if that's who I trade in, and then play the bit of a looping game with Cunningham and Johnson, which probably is a little bit more more attractive than an O'Donnell. So that's probably that's the reason that you would go in that route, I think. And I do think it's a pretty decent option, especially if you've got no cover. So I know there'd be, like, you know, you've got a Constable and then, or it could be an O'Sheen Mullen, the two sitting back there, and you've got no cover at all. It's a definitely worthy consideration. You've got to sort of balance up the points on who you might be bringing in if it is a Doc, because there's not that many defence mid swings. Maybe a Sinclair, who obviously isn't scoring like the mids or the elite defenders. Is that worth having that extra little bit of coverage so you can get a better swing from the mid? Maybe you've got that 23rd man in the mid and in the forward, and then I think it really makes sense because then you've got that extra ability to swing that back and bring that 23rd man on if you get another injury in defence.
Yeah, no question. Again, this is a learning for me with Supercoach because fantasy, yes, DPPs, and everyone makes a song of a dance round 12, round 18, but realistically it means nothing in fantasy because once if you get an injury in any position, it's not like you can swing them around. It's just you just trade them out back end of the year. But Supercoach, obviously, with fixed trades, and so if I had, say, rather than a Noah Anderson or a Jack Steele, if I had a Jack Sinclair for one of them, they're in my midfield. Then I've got this injury. I've got Tom Green as my M9. I can just swing Dacos with Sinclair, get Sinclair in defence, play Tom Green in the midfield, and I haven't lost a player. So it's a huge advantage, as you said, particularly if you've got that 23rd man in the mids or forwards. There's still 3 weeks to go. Obviously, you'll set up for this week, so you know you're not going to cop a donut this week, but if there's an injury this week, you could stare at two donuts for round 23, round 24. So, yeah, there's huge upside to having that flexibility. But as you said, midfielders typically put up the most score. So how much of a haircut are you willing to have? The difference this year, the outside of the top couple of midfielders, they've been just as up and down as the defenders. And you say Sinclair's not quite getting it done like a midfielder. What last three have won 15, comparing that to some of these decent mids, whether it's a Darcy Parrish last three, 110. Jack Steele last three, 108. Lachie Neal last three, 95. Caleb Sarong, 112. Josh Kelly, 86. He's not far off it. Obviously, you'd much rather a Bont or a Laird or a Merritt or a Libber. So the point difference, I think, if you think that you're taking a 5-point haircut, I'd definitely do it for the flexibility. But if you can get in a Libber, Laird, Merritt, I think you'd rather get that person with a higher ceiling. I think the only true defender you'd do it to keep a defender there would be the Sisley. Whereas if you can get across to one of those top end mids, I think the option is to get in a midfielder. So let's talk about some of those midfield options. You've mentioned Doherty a few times that you're considering him for the flex. What midfielder would you be considering outside of that?
For me, there's really only two options in the midfield that I could that I'd want to bring in. LDU is probably the number one guy. For me, he's got a really good run home with Essendon, Richmond and Gold Coast. He's been uber consistent since round 16. I guess the only concern is he's clearly the most taggable in the Kangaroos side, but I don't really see him having a tag coming. He might get an Essendon midfielder. It could be Perkins that sort of sits next to him as a bit of an education. Richmond won't tag, and then Gold Coast, I don't think they've been running the tag too heavily. I know Swallow has been doing a job for them on occasion. Coming into that last round of the year, you know, I don't see what the utility of running the tag is going to be. I think LDU is the best bet. I've obviously already got Libber. I think Libber is the clear standout. The only concern I have for Libber is the Finn McGuinness tag potentially coming this week. Finn will tag. Who does he go to? I think there's a few options. Bonty's probably untaggable, so he probably won't go to them. Libber's been the most damaging outside of him. But then you've got Dale. He's obviously been doing a lot of jobs off half back or to half back. So I think Dale might get it.
Don't tell me that.
I think it's possible.
I need all the help I can get here. Go to
Libber. Or Treloar. I think Libber's the most obvious. So that would be the only concern for me and probably the reason that I would go away from Libber if I didn't own. And then I guess that's Sarong, who's another option for me, West Coast Port. But then he plays Hawthorn in the last round. I think he's most likely to get that Finn tag. I think... you know, that's his role. Like we sort of look at Gold Coast, they're an on and off again tagging team, depending on the circumstances. Where Finn, that's his role. He's going to go to Sarong, I think, and shut him down. Maybe Brayshaw, but it's still too risky for me. So for me, out of those options, LDU's the man. I guess the other one, if you've got the cash, you'd probably go Sicily if you're not an owner because it's not a big difference. But Clary, obviously, super high, super high risk, super high reward. He's been out for ages, so you'd assume he'd be right. But for me, I think he just carries too much injury risk to bring in as that last pick.
Yeah, well, the risk is there for everyone to see. Obviously, he hasn't played for, what's it now, 9 weeks or something around there. You'd think you'll need a bit of time to come. But on the flip side, you've got yourself the best super coacher over the last 2 years, and even including this year's average 125. We remember as, or we were brief owners, I think, for 1 or 2 weeks, but we always thought he was kind of, even as a non-owner, scoring unders, and we were waiting for that big 180 to come. Comes up against Carlton, Hawthorn and Sydney to finish. 0% in the top 1,000. Could you do Clary as that point of difference, or that hamstring's too big a risk?
You could. I just think there's probably a better option, to be honest. I think he carries too much risk. I'm just looking at that round 23 game, and you think Finn's probably going to go to Christian Petrarca if he's playing in the mids, which is disappointing, but they could probably take him forward to free him up. But, I wouldn't go there. I think in terms of your scoring, there's a few other mids that could pump out very similar numbers and coming off injury. We don't know how he's going to look. We don't know how much really work he's been able to get into his body. I know they've managed him quite heavily, so it might be sort of like use these last 3 games as a bit of a training block and get him ready for the finals, and that'll probably mean that he won't hit those heights that you would need him to. I think it's too high risk for me, and I'm certainly the conservative one, but I think there's other pod plays like an LDU that have a greater upside.
Yeah, I think you're right there, and I don't think I'd do it if I had the money, particularly, yeah, Sicily's not much more in terms of the price. Well, we did see Tom Green come and have career-high touches fresh off that hamstring, but he was only out for the 3 weeks, so a bit of a different story there. LDU, I think, well, Gold Coast have been using the tag since King's come. Obviously, Took on Neil that week, and I imagine he would have been the one to take Dawson the week just gone, but Swallow did the tagging role, so whether they keep that up, but that's, yeah, round 24. I dare say Essendon won't really tag, and Richmond certainly won't tag if whatever they did to Bont on the weekend and Liver has anything to do with it, which gives LDU big hope to go really big. The other name we got to speak about, though, because obviously with DPP you can do a lot of flinging around, and you can't help but notice a 173 in the forward line ability who comes up against West Coast this week without a ruckman. Obviously, they're missing Bailey Williams, who's been suspended. So that's Luke Jackson since he's been in the ruck the last 3 weeks. 120 his average last three. Talk to me about Luke Jackson. Is that appealing for you?
Super appealing. I think when I sort of look at my options, the ones that I'm bringing in, it's Doc for flexibility and a safe 105, 110 guy. LDU for potentially, you know, pump it out 120 to 125 with the potential risk of a tag, I suppose. But you look at Jackson and his matchups on the run home and his potential to go absolutely massive, it's certainly a high reward with a medium risk play. Obviously, that West Coast matchup is going to be very favourable to him. I think the week after he plays Port, who I think Lysette will be a test for that game potentially. So they had a rookie ruckman that they wheeled out on the weekend. I can't even remember his name.
Lysette's gone. I think he's gone for the year, Lysette. So it will be the rookie ruck.
Yeah, so Lysette's gone for the year. Who is it?
The Lente or something.
Yeah, Vicentini, who I'd never heard of until the weekend. So that's obviously a very favourable matchup as well. Reece Stanley scored 105 on the weekend in the ruck, and he's obviously not, he doesn't have that high output, and he's obviously dominated him on the weekend, and then he comes up against Reeves in the last round if he gets back, who's a very strong hit out ruckman, but Jackson should have his way with him around the ground, and as a number one ruck, we've seen it at Melbourne, and we've seen it this year, his floor is pretty high as the number one ruck, so even in a difficult matchup against Reeves in the last round, he should be able to put up at least 100. So for me, he's certainly that third option that I'm really toying with, and I certainly wouldn't talk anyone out of him, and he's probably the most attractive to be that sort of season-defining pick on the run home.
Yeah, I'm with you there. We talked about a few of the other season-defining picks, and even the safer ones. You mentioned LDU could get the tag. Sicily, whether Collingwood learn from the weekend, which I doubt they will. I doubt they'll – sorry, he's not playing Bulldogs. Whether Bulldogs will put someone, I doubt, but I think Melksham will tag him when they play Melbourne, whereas Luke Jackson's not going to get tagged. Just the nature he plays his footy, which is high contested possession. So even the game where he was a little bit quieter against Geelong, only had the 16 disposals, but 11 of those were contested, which, as you know, is super coach gold. He lays his tackles, but, yeah, easier matchups on the way home. Yeah, he's the one who I think someone asked a couple of weeks ago, Cameron or Jackson, and again, I'm meant to be the aggressive one, I'll play the safe route, saying, well, strength in ownership, go Cameron, who had been really good up until last week, and then Jackson blows out that one. So I'm with you. He's line ball with any of those mids who have the tag threats, or those defenders who knows what the defenders are going to do. He's right up there for pick. Obviously, that 173, it's... You don't get the score he got last week, but that obviously shows his upside and potential as well. So as it stands, as your Monday raid trades, obviously we're filming this or recording this on a Tuesday night, who have you currently got in there for Dacos?
It's Aldi or Jackson. And it's certainly one that I'm probably going to sleep on. It's one I'm going to look forward to reading the insights about. I think... For some reason, LDU feels safer to me. But when you look at the matchups for Jackson, they're incredibly favourable to some big scores. Maybe I'm a little bit burnt from bringing in Jackson last year for that one game that sort of contributed to the derailing my season. But I'm leaning LDU just over Jackson, but that could easily sway coming home. You know, If he does what you would expect him to do against a ruckless West Coast, even if Williams was still playing, like that would be something everyone was considering because Williams gives up massive scores to rucks. He's obviously gotten a lot better as the season's worn on, but he's still sort of that lower rung of a ruckman given what he does, sort of the deficiency he has in hitouts and Jackson's strengths come from the clearance, the stoppage and around the ground. He obviously is a very capable forward when he goes there as well. So when I started this pod, it was LDU, you know, a lot further ahead of Jackson than he is now. And I've sort of got him neck and neck. And I reckon I'm thinking I'll go Jackson at this point, but I'm really keen to hear your thoughts as a Freo man.
Well, LDU, so let's look at it. Essendon, you said Perkins, he'd been that matchup all year and done decent jobs, did it on Dangerfield, got absolutely smashed by Bontempelli a couple of weeks ago and hasn't really seen any midfield minutes since. Cunnington's announced his retirement. He's playing this week. Obviously, a lot of LDU scoring comes from his clearance work and his ratio for Supercoach v Fantasy is very high. He might score, even on the weekend, an 80 in Fantasy, scores 100 in Supercoach. He's just got a great super coach game about him, but I think he's going to lose some of those clearance numbers where they've been sitting at the... I know Frigo said you don't get points for clearances, but essentially it's a contested possession and potentially inside 50 on the back of that too. I think Cunnington's... You'd think his farewell game, they're going to stick him in the guts. There's been no real better clearance player, first possession player in the last 7 years than Ben Cunnington. So he might lose out a little bit there versus Essendon. On the flip side, they could beat Essendon on the weekend and... We've seen what LDU's done, 122 in the last three, and that's including losses and losses and losses. They haven't won since round two, and if they can get a sneaker win, obviously that gives bigger scores too with score involvements and whatnot. Richmond won't tag. I think you can see a 140 coming that week for LDU, and then Gold Coast, I think he's either going to get a Took or a Swallow or whoever it is. I think he's going to cop a tag there. So you level that out, despite the 140 with a Jackson... Versus West Coast, you'd think it could be a 130. Versus Port Adelaide, you think it can be a 130. And then, yeah, Reeves, yes, Hawks, tough ruck to ruck against, but Freo should beat them there, and it could be a 110. I'm thinking it's Jackson, but it's easy for me to say the man with no trades.
I'll just put him in my team, and I don't hate the look of it. I guess the other option as a forward is Butters, but I think Butters has difficult matchups on the run home with GWS and Freo, who have a lot to play for. And Porter obviously decimated, and really Butters had a good game on the weekend. He hasn't been great before that. I'm now I've got Jackson. Pippen him. Pippen LDU, I think. I think in terms of the ceiling, look, at where I'm playing for right now is a couple of cashies. And I'd really like to make that top 50, which I think is about 200 points. And Luke Jackson probably gives me the best shot of that if he does what he could potentially do. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, top 100 would still be great. And I think either of them could get me into that position, given that I've got the trade sitting there. So, you know, I've gone all year being conservative. Might as well take the more aggressive approach and bring in Jacko.
Yeah, no, you're right. So even looking at ownership, so LDU still lowly owned, less than 10% of the top 100, 10% of the top 1,000. So you'd almost say there is risk in terms of output ownership there, whereas what Butters would be a safety net in terms of jumping in with a crowd, because yeah, a top 100 finish, if you can land that on top of your back-to-back top 10s, would be a fair feather in the cap, and you're in a good position where the stress isn't there of the top 10 trying to win it, and you've got the trade up your sleeve and you're charging. It's more so those coaches around the top. So we've got a couple around the top, first one being Big Benny, who's sitting in third, and he's got a trade up his sleeve. He's got Sicily. He's wondering who he goes. I dare say everyone's got that very similar boat of, do you do a Jackson, do you do a midfielder, where does it go? But he's currently sitting Dawson in the midfield, so he could flick him back and then get in a Merritt or an LDU. So Merritt's obviously got a highly owned, putting up big scores. LDU's obviously an alternate to him. Would you consider just matching and doing a Merritt if you were sitting in the tops, coming third, knowing the top-ranked team doesn't have Sicily?
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at Benny's score now. Obviously, Sicily's that massive pod. Oh, he's got Atkins as a cover there as well, which is nice. Yeah, I reckon I would. I reckon I'd go the Merritt. I think I'd put Merritt above LDU. And I think Jackson, just for safety. Like, I don't think North will tag on the weekend. And Merritt's in such great form that I think there's just an element of safety there for Merritt. I think I'd pit Merritt ahead of Jackson.
Yeah, Collingwood to finish. They're not going to tag. GWS, we've seen Callum Ward do the job on Bont when he got off the hook that on the weekend. Goulden got off the hook. They didn't give him any attention at GWS. Now with Tom Green in there, they've got enough mids in there that they can't really afford to run a run with Tagger. So I think you're right that Merritt will have a pretty clean run home and you'd think could put up some decent scoring. I think, yeah, Merritt would be the one. 184 off, he has Sicily. I think that's where I'd be going, the Merritt play.
And he's 200 points behind for 50K. It probably requires a bit of a big ball move when Merritt, like, you... If I had to put the over and under down and I had to lay money down who's going to score more on the run home, in safety in numbers, you'd go Merritt. But the underdog in Jackson could come home, and that could be that opportunity for him to potentially win 50K. Does that change your thinking at all?
Well,
he's probably safe. He's probably 10. Safe for a track suit too in the top 10. So he's got a track suit.
Top 10, I've got to remind me, the 50K is the winner, and then it's just 1K from second to 10th, isn't it? Or is it?
I think it's 53, and there's definitely a prize for second. No, I think third gets a K, and it's a K all the way down to 10th plus a track suit.
Okay. The top 10's a big number. If you say you come top 10, not sure whether that's just because we've got there that you take some pride, whereas technically I think I was 7th, but I think there was a Champion Data employee, so it wasn't valid, so I was actually 7th, but I actually don't care. 7th or 8th, who really cares? It's top 10, you know?
Yeah.
So what's the difference between coming 3rd or coming 7th or 8th for a bit of a punt to catch that up for 50K? Probably is Jackson, isn't it?
I think so. So he's 200 points ahead of 10th. So, you know, a whole lot would have to go wrong with Jackson. It's an injury to Jackson that could potentially pull him out of that. third to 10th gets 1K, second gets 5K. So the Jackson move could get him, because he's not far off second, Jackson can get him to 5K, but Merritt could as well. But Jackson's probably the more likely if he does what is possible against, you know, two extremely easy matchups, could be that one that gets him to 50K. And, you know, I've got two of the track suits. I've never worn them more than once. And while they're nice, holding a 50K check would complement the tracksuit very nice. I reckon I'd go Jackson.
Yeah.
And I'm leaning that way to try and get top 50 over a top 100. And I think in that situation, because he's safe in that top 10, or relatively safe, I think it's a worthy move.
All right, here's another one, Jordan 28. So it's good to see some coaches there at the point. As I mentioned, we've got about 100 who signed up initially. I dare say it's less who's in there now. It's good to have a couple there fighting it out. He's got a trade left. He's got Seamus Mitchell as cover, who obviously has been subbed out the last 2 weeks. So not a heap of confidence there. Has no cover in the ruck, so doesn't have a Darcy Cameron or doesn't have a Jackson or whatever. So is his view, with still 3 weeks to go, to just play the cover? Or is this when you have to use your last trade? And if you cop an injury in another line and get 2 weeks of donuts, the risk outweighs the reward to get a 100 scoring player rather than a potential 40 with a Seamus Mitchell getting subbed out.
Yeah, you have to make the trade. You're not gonna climb into the top 10. I'm not sure how many points he's off. 100.
Yeah, these are what the trades are for. So 41% don't have a trade in the top 1,000. You're one of the few who do. For you not to use that trade, you're essentially just giving that 41% a leg up and joining them with whoever cover you might be. I think you've got to be aggressive there. And if there is an injury in the ruck to an English marshal, you obviously, I dare say, there's going to be another 50% who are going to be in the same boat, or 99% with those, but some will have cover. So take it on. 3 weeks to go.
Yeah. So there's six players ahead of him that don't have a trade at all. Obviously, there's a few that have the one trade. They're going to make the trade. You're not going to catch them with a Mitchell. So, yeah, you got to pull the trigger.
Nice, Tommy. Captain options, vice-captain, early thoughts. That tag is back. It seems to happen every year this time of year. Coaches kind of just let the dust settle and then realise, okay, well, now we might have to start shutting players down. You mentioned Finn. For me, it's enough to avoid both a Bont and a Libba for captain, vice-captain. It's hard to do given how you'd think they'd beat the 16th place side, Hawthorne. They're coming sixth, the Doggies. And one of them's going to get off the chain, but oh, it's hard for me to do that. Oh, I think I would be a VC Merritt versus North on the first game of the Saturday. But yeah, we've lost confidence in Neil. We've lost confidence in Dunkley after his low time on ground on the weekend. Could be a Laird captain for me to bring it home. Where are you currently sitting, captain, vice-captain?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I've got Sicily, so I think Sicily against the Dogs is probably a bit glaring of an option of the C's. For some reason, even though the scoring that he's doing, I feel nervous about putting a C on Sicily, just given he's prone to a meltdown occasionally. But I think against the Doggies and the amount of marks that they're giving up in defence, they're the 14th ranked team for defenders. So I think he's a pretty clear option if you're an owner, just given as he's a pretty hard week for captains. And then, yeah, Merritt makes a whole lot of sense. I don't see them tagging. I think there's a chance for that number one pick. Like, while Clarko will certainly probably want to get the win, he'll want one on the run home. I don't think he's going to do anything active to sabotage the team and tank. I don't think they'll put a match-up on Merritt, so he makes a lot of sense. I guess the other one as a nice little option is Goulden as well against Gold Coast, because they give up a heap of points to midfielders, and that one's at the SCG where he's scoring pretty well at the moment. So it's a pretty tough week. I think English is a bit of a risky match-up as well against Hawthorn. Is Reeves back this week?
Who's back? Briggs.
Reed.
Who's that?
Reeves. He got injured on the weekend.
Reeves.
Is he going to miss?
Reeves. Yeah. Good question. if he misses and it's Meek, yeah, he comes at a cow. So obviously, we keep dismissing English. He just keeps getting it done. It's just, yeah, Sunday, it's a bit like the Sis. It's hard to put the C on English for me.
Yeah, so Reeve copped a corky in the back and he played on. So, yeah, I think in terms of the hit-outs, English isn't just, then he's not going to get them. So I'd probably avoid him. So, yeah, I think Merritt or Goulden for a VC into Sicily for me.
Awesome, but as always, come Trade Insights time, I'll cover my final thoughts and I'll know teams by then too if anything else comes out. I think we always say we don't want to wish injuries or outs. I wouldn't mind an out in the midfield or forward line, maybe just a resting or a manage to secure me there. Because I've got the cover there. Even the play, I think that's my only hope. But other than that, we'll, depending on the questions which come in, we'll do a Q&A quick fire. But if not, like last week, I'll just respond to those questions which do come through. And obviously the Trade Insights will hopefully cover most of them. And Tommy, we'll touch base with you next week, 2 weeks to go. Hopefully we'll see a double-digit ranking on your sheet.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Good luck, everyone. And, yeah, hope Benny can grab himself 50K. That'd be very nice.
Beautiful. Cheers, mate.